golf course over here behind me, and they're in some trouble. They hopefully be back by January, but wiped out tee boxes and greens and nasty.
Well, you know, Trump may be looking to add to his collection. You know, he has a collection of golf courses. Maybe they should give him a call.
That'll be, somebody mentioned that this morning. The Trump should not be disappointed in the sense of the greatest job in the world is being a former president of the United States. Just think about it, right? I mean, you can do anything you want, go anywhere you want, meet anybody you want. And, he's got as much money as he'll ever need. And he can just spend the rest of his life doing good, which is, of course, what you and I can do too. But he can just do it on a much grander scale. And he
Well,
also has permanent security guards.
we could be unexpectedly surprised, you know, that I think they're going to have a smoking machine gun, not just a smoking gun, but we'll see
Right.
how interesting.
Yeah,
Well,
he.
you're okay, and as they say, experience is always a good teacher, right?
Right. And he'll have a good legacy. He did a good job. So we'll see. We'll see how it all goes. I'm very optimistic as I always am, but we got a great economy, great stock market, and we've accomplished some things during this COVID that we couldn't ever have done.
Right.
I mean, maybe we would have done them, but it had taken 4 or 5 years. This Zoom teaching having everybody get really comfortable with technology. What they've done with the pandemic is mind-boggling. And the breakthroughs that they're making in terms of treating the next pandemic and the research they're doing, mind-boggling. I mean, the efficacy of this thing, 95%. I mean, it's going to be a better world that we all live in.
For sure.
And I think our business, I'm in most businesses, they're either taking advantage of this and doing great, or they're sleeping and doing horrible.
Yeah, one of my clients, I asked her, I said, how is your business doing? She goes, well, you know, she goes, actually, we had a record month last month. And she said, you know, I'm kind of cautious as to who I share that with, you know, because people
Right.
are hurting and doing. And I said, well, you know, eagles tend to soar regardless of the winds aloft or the direction of the wind. And she said, well, that's a good point. So to what you're saying. And I said, also, you know, be cautious, but share that with people that you can, because it encourages them and lifts them up too. And they need to know.
Right.
It doesn't matter what's going on, the markets, economy, or the world, you still have these goals, these outcomes you want to achieve, and you got to figure out how to get there. And that's our job to help you too. So.
Well, Preston, I'm just amazed at the ability I have to pull together a committee of people from literally all over the United States in no time. If I want to work on a charitable project, I can pull them together from everywhere, and people are just like, sure, yeah, I'll do that. I'll sit in. Yeah, I'll be on that. I'll do that. And it's like, it blows my mind that literally I could not have physically done this.
Right.
I could not have, because I wouldn't have the ability or the time or the energy to get on a plane and pull all these people together.
Right.
I'll meet you in Kansas City, everybody. That's 3 day effort right there.
Sure. Yeah, it's amazing. And I think that it for advisors, that if we adopt. And of course, independent advisors are able to adopt technology faster and sooner, right? Because we don't have to go through all the red tape, right? But I think the more that we adopt technology, the better it makes our lives, the better it helps us, and it makes us more efficient, but also it reduces our costs too, in my case.
Right.
So, by the way, did you get the email introduction I sent for Crystal Thighs on the LinkedIn. I sent you an email and then I sent her an email on Friday.
Yes. And what was that for?
LinkedIn. So she's the LinkedIn specialist.
Oh, that's right.
You'd asked me to send that to you.
Yes.
In a personal introduction, I sent one to you and open copied her with her information. And then I sent one to her and open copied you with your information.
Thank you.
So she's really, really good. She's the best I've ever seen.
Now, how many have you seen? I mean, I'm not being rude, but I mean, is she it?
No, like 5 or 10. I mean, most people that I've seen, you know, they just want to give you more information. Like, I was about halfway asleep, that guy that you put on. And at the end of the time, I didn't really have any more information. I mean, I didn't have any actionable steps like do this or we can do this or we can narrow in this. It was just like, that's just something that's going to eat up more of my time and it's not going to help me, right? What advisors really want is, how can we utilize this tool? I mean, I completely am bought into LinkedIn, but it's how can I utilize this tool to get more introductions and get more.
All right. So I need to work with her.
Yeah. I mean, I think your guy in Dallas is, he has a great personality. He seems like a super nice guy, but he maybe he's just a bad presenter, but I didn't see anything that like wowed me like, oh man, this guy really knows what he's doing and he can really help me in my business. And, you know, because we can all add a lot more expenses to our business. What we want to add is more investments that are giving us a return on our investment.
Right.
More overhead. I got plenty of overhead.
I agree. I got plenty.
I do have some good news. I was, I'll know more this afternoon. So our virtual staff member that's here locally that works for us 20 hours a week, supposed to have a meeting Thursday afternoon about her wanting to work 40 hours a week.
Oh, wow.
So that would be really good. It's a great example about about why unemployment benefits should only be 30 or 60 or 90 days, not 3 years, because she worked for another, I've known her for about 10 years. She worked for another CPA firm down the hall and in the crunch, and they consolidated and sold off and in the crunch, and then one of their CPAs left. So their revenue down. Well, in the crunch, they decided they had to let her go because she was on salary, which was kind of generous to her because she was able to collect full unemployment. You know,
right.
After some time went by, I followed up with her. Long story short, you know, she's like, well, I'm on unemployment, but it's going to run at some point. So, but I'm not sure I want to go back to work full time. I'd like to do something, you know, maybe part time and not have to be in an office. And also. So that's how we came up with that. But Shelly got sort of a 911 call from the other day saying, hey, you know, the unemployment office said I've got to do 3 interviews a week and my unemployment's running out at the end of November. So I got to make up that difference. Do you have somewhere else? Do you know someone else that's hiring, or can I work more for you guys? I think it's a blessing. It's going to be a blessing for us. But I think it's such a great example of, I'm all for unemployment and it needs to be a gap to help people transition so they don't end up on the street. But when they do these 12, 24, 36 month, it's just, why would you go to work if you can get a paycheck and not?
Well, and that's what people did. They wouldn't go back to work at restaurants when they opened because they were getting unemployment and doing better.
Yeah, they'd take a paycheck to go to work.
Yeah, the disincentive to go to work. So yeah, you're right.
But I think it's going to be a blessing. I think she's not one of those people that, you know, just, but she also was, hey, I'm able to subsidize my income working for you.
Sure.
So hopefully that's going to work out and that she, we'll see how that goes afternoon, that she might be willing to still be on a contract basis, but maybe come into the office a few days to help more with some of the physical stuff on the folders. You know, we've ordered all the folders. We're in the process of getting those together. So that she could help with that. Shelly's working on that. I think Shelly already, I don't know if she just watched some of the webinar maybe with the tool, or maybe she went over to Cindy, I can't recall, but she did have some exposure to the scheduler. I do have a question about that I can't quite figure out.
I may not be able to help you, but I'll try.
I mean, I think it's a cool tool. She basically just gave me a high level summary, like you put it in and then it allocates, you know, the meeting so that you don't end up. You know. But my challenge is, so because I don't have any, you know, office staff, right? I have a little extra gap in my in-office meeting. So normally I schedule at least an hour and a half, if not 2 hour time block for in-office meeting. Cause a lot of those meetings, you know, let's say the meeting runs an hour, right? I've got to have a little prep time before, a little wrap up time afterwards, and then some gap time for the next client to get there and not be rushed. And so like if I was scheduling 5 points a day in that last appointment, I would do that last appointment block out 2 hours or hour and a half, or the first appointment. But with the scheduler, I don't know how we do that because I don't need to block out an hour and a half or 2 hours for a phone call. So that's the only thing I can't quite get my head around about how we make that adjustment.
I don't think it does that.
Yeah.
I think you can do them only 1 hour increments.
Yeah.
So I would just, what would you do? So the first one and the last one, you can make 2 hours. That way protects you. The ones in between, I guess you just make them 1 hour and then just work your tail off to keep it within an hour.
So basically you don't have any solution for me.
Yeah, that wasn't a good
advice. Am I paying for that advice or is that free?
That's free. That's as much as I know about the scheduler.
Okay. Well, we'll ask Cindy her input, but that's the only flaw I see for our specific business. I mean, my trimester meetings normally run, it's very rare. To be finished in 40 minutes, I'd have to have a 30 minute meeting and a couple minutes to wrap up. And so, but we'll see how this afternoon goes.
If you really do 12-4-2, right, you won't need long meetings. If you're doing quarterly meetings, then they'll be longer. But if you do monthly meetings and you have an agenda for every one of them, you will not need long meetings.
Yeah, I figured that might be one of your answers. I mentioned that to Shelley. I said, well, maybe.
No, you'll see. You won't need them. And the agenda keeps you on track. And all you do is tell the client, we've got 50 minutes.
Right.
And this is the agenda. Let's try and stay on that. And if you need more time, we can do it by phone or Zoom.
Okay.
If we need to follow up. So that way the job fills the time. Trust me.
Okay. And then I guess I did get a little inspired to do some more searching out for some virtual CFPs and planners. And I've scheduled a time. The first week of December, I found a firm in California that's what they do. They're virtual CFPs. They're your back office CFP. So, and they've got a hourly rate. They've got a flat fee rate, or they have a, you know, so many hours a week or so many hours a month retention deal. So.
What'd you think?
Well, I just saw their website and their overview. I haven't talked to them yet. I've got scheduled for the first week of December, but I mean, I've had two different virtual CFPs before, and it looks like they work with eMoney, which is important, and they work with Redtail. So the biggest challenge we had before was just keeping the data up to date and then making sure that the reports they ran were the reports that I used. And so, but yeah. I mean, the thing I like about that is that it's scalable, right? So you can use them for certain ones, saying certain, and then as you ramp up or as you add a newer client on, you can. So, yeah. So I think it may be a good solution. It's more overhead, but it could be a good solution, freeing up more time for me.
Excellent. What else? What questions? What other questions other than compressing your meetings into less than an hour?
Well, it's not so much hard that the meeting is just you got to have some, you know, prep time and wrap up time. So you said be prepared to talk about the 5-star model, and I watched a video a couple more times. I watched it again before our meeting. So I guess I put the virtual CFP in the planning department. feel like that my staff is, I think it's, I feel like the implementation is kind of a joint project between my staff and I. The service would be, so right now it's me, it's Shelly, it's Zan, Tracy, and then Indigo Marketing, and then we use Ruby for the reception service. So
I'd say it's Shelly. You got to have one person in charge, and they can delegate to whoever they want, but that person's in charge of the client experience. That's why we call it brand management.
Sure. Okay. And that's what she does now. She's in charge now and then delegates things to Zan or Tracy.
Right.
Or to Ruby, like for making outgoing calls. And then, I mean, I would be, I guess, 4 and 5.
Correct.
We have weekly meetings now. I used to be in on some of those, and I found that it frustrated my wife and ended up frustrating me too. So some of the meet, so that she has like a once a week meeting with Tracy, and then she meets several times a week with Zan. And I don't, most of the time I don't need to be in those meetings. I have a daily meeting with Shelly at 11:30. We have a touch base meeting, go over anything. So I feel like that works pretty well.
And you know what works well for you. I mean, I've got a guy that does the same thing. He meets with his gal is Tracy, and she takes care of the rest. You just want to make sure that you're not, just be good at listening to Shelly complain about the others and be patient. And don't, it isn't that you're not interested. It's that you're busy.
Right.
Okay. Because sometimes it gets, it's hard to manage other people. And sometimes she needs just, you know, she'll need a little encouragement and a little bit of support, and she'll get tired, and, you know, it's exhausting working with people and so forth. So you can be just there to listen, smile, tell how much you appreciate her, and so forth.
Those are good reminders.
It is. It's just so easy to delegate and abdicate, you know. See ya.
Yeah, I see you after work at the house, and then yeah.
Right. I know. And then
you have a lot of time for your work in the practice, but it has its.
Well, then you get the little explosion, you know, and not a nuclear, but just a little poof. And you're like, where the hell did that come from? That's because you don't ever listen. I've been telling you about this and you haven't been hearing me. Yeah. So the implementation, we're going to get into the, you know, the 24-month calendar of activities. And, you know, the world changed. So some of those activities are, you know, Zoom and so forth. One of the things that teams have done is they've put together the sort of implementing the financial plan using the 24-month calendar for big issues that periodically come up, rather than just saying we're going to update your financial plan. You can just be talking about, for example, liability management, and cover all of that with all your clients that month or for 2 months. So when you're going to introduce a new topic like that, like beneficiary designations and things like that, you generally give yourself 2 months, a month to introduce it and then a month to follow up. Because typically there's a lot of follow up. Now your practice is arguably smaller, so you're going to have less to follow up on because you keep pretty much on top of things in terms of implementation, I'm sure. But the principles can be the same as you grow. I think it makes sense, and it seems to work pretty well. Gives you a chance to remind yourself that we need, you know, we haven't talked about mortgages and things like that for a long time. So we'll talk about the 24-month calendar in a week or so, but I just thought I'd bring it up. The other role of the director of implementation. You got them. Beautiful. The other role of the director of implementation is the training director for the team to just make sure that. And who's that going to be? Who's in charge of implementation?
I wasn't. Well, it depends on how you define implementation. So implementation of the plan or like onboarding or.
Well, implementation of the plan, which includes all the products and services and not onboarding new clients. That would be an operational thing.
Yeah. So implementation, again, that's me. I mean, basically, you know, Shelley's in charge of all the operational stuff, right? And then she delegates to Zan and Tracy, open the new account, you know, set up the appointments, all that kind of stuff, right? Anything else pretty much, and then the marketing, you know, we use Indigo, but anything else is pretty much me.
Right. So back to the 24-month calendar, you're in charge of training them. Okay. So if we're going to talk about something and everybody's going to need to be smart on something that you may be new to them, then you're kind of make sure that you give them enough time to prepare for it and that they know what they're talking about. If they're going to interact with the clients, maybe not, but it's a good idea to just check that box when you're implementing a new strategy so that everybody knows what you're doing for the next 2 months.
Okay.
Okay, it's just one of those things. With a bigger team, it's a big part of the organization. So, yeah, roles and responsibilities are interesting. Leadership. How do you feel about that? What do you want to do with it? You read about it, right?
Yes.
So where does that fit in with your plan? Does it work?
I mean, to me, a lot of those are intertwined, those roles.
Yeah, when you're a sole proprietor, you're doing everything, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, one of the things that I find that leaders hate the most is the idea of meeting with their teammates on a regular basis, a monthly basis, and developing them.
Yeah, and I like your idea on the giving each teammate a 12-4-2. I would be interested to hear like what topics you should put in there and what the folder should look like and how that should be structured. But I like that idea. I think it's a really good idea. And I plan on implementing that with each one of the team members so that we're able to give them more regular feedback. And that's an area that I could use help and improvement on. You know, probably one of my weaknesses is that, you know, I expect everybody to operate the same level as me. And so, as you know, sometimes only things that get addressed are things that aren't going well. And that doesn't bode well, even in my relationship with my wife, right? So I think that that's a really good way to have systematize that, in that we have regular scheduled meetings and we're talking about how are things going, what's on your mind, what's going well, not well, those kind of things.
I just got done. I'm on my third round of coaching a team in Chicago. And you'd think after three times they'd be getting it, right? But the problem is he has to start with a whole new team because he's such a horrible manager. Okay, and I've explained this to him. as you can imagine.
I'm a denominator, huh?
So the only common denominator is he's still there. Anyway, his father's still there and there's nobody else. And he's like, I think I got a problem. And I said, really? That's shocking. And I said, you got to change your brain around.
Yeah.
Okay. You got to become a servant leader. Right. And we can talk about being a servant leader and it sounds really good. And we do that when it comes to the church and, you know, charities and we're really, but when it comes to our own team, we're not a servant leader. I'm in charge and this is the most important thing and you aren't living up to the standards. And so you suck. I'm great. and so you gotta take your ego. And we used to say, check it at the door.
Yeah.
And go in and be the servant leader. And the difference is Larry Wilson used to say this, managers get things done through people. Leaders, servant leaders get people done through work.
Right.
Okay. So the purpose, which you will find very strange to think about, your purpose is to develop your people in a way that benefits them the most. Okay. So they may not want to be FAs and they may want to only work 40 hours a week. They have got other priorities, but those priorities are really important to them. And so you need to care about their priorities and about them as a human being. And make them feel great about themselves and help them be their best self in the way that they want to be rather than just the way you want them to be. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and that sounds very strange, right? It's like, what? Why would I care?
No, I think we're giving a pretty good example of that in Luke and Mark and Matthew.
In what?
Those first books of the Bible about servant leadership, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, I think good examples of that. So no, servant leadership is not foreign, doesn't sound foreign. And there's a corny saying, but it's true. Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care, right?
Right.
Corny, but it's true.
And you will like yourself more by caring about them. And absolutely. So what you do is you have a meeting. Just like a 12-4-2, you block out the time, you have an agenda, and then you send an executive summary. And you want to focus in on what they want to accomplish. So they have a role and responsibility. So they may be in charge of business, you know, they may be in charge of brand management, right? So you teach them what that role is and how to excel in that role. All right? So they need to know exactly what it is, exactly how to get an A. How do I get an A in that topic? How do I get 100 in my test? How do I do the job perfectly? So you teach them that, and then you set goals, incremental goals, to get to the place where you want them eventually to get to, and they agree that that's where they want to go to. And then you're the accountability coach, but you're a coach. You know, you're not the whip. So the game is to encourage them and to praise them for what they're doing and to help them make the changes necessary in order to reach their goals. So a personal goal as well as a professional goal, they should have a developmental goal professionally and personally. So, for example, they may want to get another degree, or they may want to become a CFP, or they may not care about any of that, and they just want to become a decent public speaker, or they whatever they want professionally is what you want to encourage them to do. So that they do their job better, right? So they grow. And sometimes people have never had anybody pay attention to them, and so they, and they're not used to that. So you got to really get them to dream and think, and you know, what if, what if, what if. So personal and professional, they may want to get in shape and, you know, run a marathon or do something fun, or just be strong enough to pick up their granddaughter. So whatever it is, that's their personal goal, and you encourage that and you track it. And you demonstrate not by being, you're not being a jerk by being their accountability coach. You're being their friend by being their accountability coach. And it's just basically, how are we doing on your goal? You know, how are you doing? How you feel about it? How's it going? Are you making some steps? How's your progress? See, then, you know, and this is really particularly important when it comes to the team, you know, in a big office, in a big firm. You know, you have these big reviews at the end of the year, and it's like pass or fail, right? They either, everybody wants to give their assistant a good review, and so then they get a raise, and well, that's, you know, it's horrible. It's just a horrible situation, because the FA has no idea what his assistant's been doing the whole time, and yet he wants to give her a great raise and a great, and the management thinks she's terrible because she constantly needs supervision and needs to be followed up on and doesn't get problems solved and so forth. So anyway, in your situation, none of that applies. But my point is that you don't need to do a year-end review.
Yeah, I agree.
You're done. You know, in 3 months, she knows that you care as much about how she's doing as you, as she does, and therefore, you're good. If she's doing great, there's money. If she's not, she knows there's not going to be any money. Okay, so it's kind of like, you know. So it makes it, on the long run, in the short run, you're going to hate it. In the long run, you're going to love it, because you're not going to have somebody crying in your office or having to fire somebody that you're not prepared for, or, you know, they'll leave and you'll walk them out the door and hug them and goodbye. You know, it won't be no surprises. This is like no surprise, end of surprises. So it's a very important piece that I don't spend a lot of time on it, because we're usually running short of time. But you're kind of you're a special case, because you kind of, you know, we spend 4 weeks on segmentation, and typically they're not done till 8 weeks, okay? Getting rid of clients and things like that. So we have time to do anything you want to do, because we're not talking about the garbage.
Right.
It's segmenting and getting organized. I mean, you're pretty much through segmentation and organization. We can get right into organization of the team and organization of and getting acquisition going in any direction you want it to go.
So on the executive summary, what's the best practice there? How does that mechanically work? Do you have a template?
The most important thing to include is what you both agreed to. Then you don't have the I say, you say issue. You take that off the table.
I'm bought into the executive summary, the wrap up, et cetera. I guess I'm talking about what's best practice on how to execute it. So like, for example, we use mobile assistant, but sometimes there's a delay there or it doesn't come the same day. And then like, I notice I get my executive summary from your team on Fridays. So is best practice. And that kind of came back to what I was talking about the meetings, is normally I allow enough time to get prepared for the meeting, have the meeting, and then do a wrap up on copy talk. So then it dictates all my, you know, notes from the meeting, any actions a team members need to make. So I guess I'm trying to understand mechanically, like best execution or best practice. Have you found a best practice that if you have a meeting on Monday, they get executive summary on Friday, or same day, or all of them go out on Friday?
I mean, the best practice is if you can do the executive summary when you finish the class.
Yeah, well, okay. I think when you finish a 20-minute in-person meeting, I'm not going to have the time.
If you can get, I mean, I would just put it in the category of the same week. Okay, I would try and get it done in the same week. Now, if you've got meetings on Friday, clearly they're going to go over into the beginning of the next week. But I would try and get it done within 5 days at the max.
And that's because my responsibility.
I think you lose impact
the
further you go away from it, from the day of the meeting.
All right. So in an ideal situation, who's sending? I'm having to type up and draft those. It's already in a template, right? So you've got a template for
sending.
Sorry, in an email template, I'm just saying bullet point 1, 2, or 3.
Right. This is a good analogy, but it's not perfect. I have got a board meeting. I'm in charge of the investment committee for the Island School, and we manage about $9 million. And I'm the head of the investment committee. I'm also the guy that takes notes. I haven't figured out how to delegate that away. But I like to keep a little bit of, I hated it in the beginning, but I like it now. And I didn't know when to send out the minutes. And what I do now is we have a meeting on Tuesday for the investment committee. And I make sure that the minutes are done that night. Okay. So Tuesday, I have the minutes done and to the committee and to the chairman of the board so that she can have a copy of it when I present it to the board on Thursday. So that the person that's doing the minutes for the board meeting can write up from my minutes everything that they need. So what it does is it gets me done while it's fresh in my head. And then it gets to everybody before they get any weird thoughts as to what we might have agreed to. And everybody thinks I'm the most efficient guy in America, which is what you want. Because you want your clients to think you're the most efficient guy in America. And they love doing business with you because you're so efficient. So whatever it is, make it the same.
By the way, I've been asking those questions, the three questions in my meetings. What are we doing that we should keep doing? And the answers I've been getting is everything. What are we doing that we should stop? Nothing. What are we doing that we should start? If there's something, I'm not aware of it. Right. That's what I've been getting. The one client, he said, I did think of something you could stop. You know, those quarterly fees that come out of our account, if you want to stop those, that'd be okay. Not a big laugh. I said, well, yeah. I talked to my wife about that. She said it'd be like playing a country western song, you know. I'd lose my wife and my house and all that kind of stuff. So for now, I decided not to do that.
Then I'll miss him, right? So whatever it takes to impress your clients, I guess, and to keep you on track so you don't feel panicked, so you don't get behind, but don't make yourself crazy.
Okay. I'm trying to figure out how to do that without that being double work. So like right now at the end of the meeting, I do the wrap up notes, and there's a template for that. I can customize that template to make it whatever I want.
Sounds like you're doing it right there.
Yeah. I'm just not sure then how that functions out. If I leave the notes there and then my staff emails out the template, but the template I have to change every month with the subject line. Kind of ties back into my referral to Cindy, the LinkedIn Ninja. She started out as an, you probably didn't read, you may have slept since I sent you that email, but she started out as an FA. So she understands her business. And then,
oh, really?
And then she moved halfway across the country. I think she's not married to that husband now, but I can't remember if her husband decided that they wanted to move. And so she agreed to do that. And then it didn't work out, but basically they moved, and she was only like second or third or fourth year in the business and didn't, you know, and so instead she was doing a lot of work with nonprofits. So she just went to work for a nonprofit doing all their LinkedIn stuff, and she would send board meetings. Well, then she thought about coming back into the business and instead decided to just help advisors do LinkedIn. That's really what she focuses on. And she works for some nonprofits too. But so she can be strategic in, okay, we want to attract people at Austin Industries. But once we kind of fine tune things, I plan on hiring her. I've never actually hired her. I've referred her to a bunch of people. I was going to hire her in the downturn in that period in March and April, but our quarterly fees were, as most people's were down pretty significantly. So I knew we wanted to make some more focused changes on kind of fine tuning in who we're working with. So once we get things a little more fine tuned here, then I plan on implementing and hiring her to do some more strategic things for us.
Yeah, I think she could be a big help. I mean, I'll get to know her and I'll, you know, I can't hire her now because I'm using Bruce right now, but I will if I can. And
is your four-legged friend taking notes for us? Is he your dictation service today?
Could you hear him?
Yeah, I can hear him fanning in the background. What kind of dog do you have?
I got a lab, a 14-year-old lab.
Oh, wow. We have two labs. At one time we had three. We have a yellow lab. He's 11 and a half. He's not doing so good. And then our youngest one is 5. And my wife doesn't know it, but I'm going to be picking up our newest one next weekend. That's going to be Chocolate. Hershey's going to be his name. So now nice. We have Casper and Jet.
Nice. Yeah, we've had.
They're great.
We had three at one time.
Yeah. What's your last name?
I love them. They're wonderful dogs. They're my favorite.
What color is your lab?
Brown.
Yeah, those are good ones. What's his name?
Izzy. Yeah. Isidore. He's a cutie.
They're great dogs. We love
them. He was adopted. We adopted him.
So far, 13 and a half is as old as we've gotten so far.
Yeah, he's 14. He just had a birthday, and
that's spectacular.
He's doing fine. He goes on walks, and you know, he's a good disposition. He's not growly or anything. He's good. And my granddaughter, you know, loves on him like crazy, and he enjoys it.
How old's your granddaughter?
6.
Oh, gotcha. That's a great age. What's her name?
Juliet.
Juliet. Oh, my sister's name is Julie, so that'll be easy to remember.
Juliet. She's
now, is she with you in Florida, or she's back in? Okay.
She's upstairs, and they were doing some gym. You know, they do. She's virtual, so she was doing her physical education, and I could hear her stomping on the ground above me.
So if I remember correctly, so your daughter's in the business. She has an advisory practice.
No. No, she's a consultant. She's a coach right now, though, for Weight Watchers, the old Weight Watchers, which is now WW. She was in the business of producing television.
Okay.
So she was in LA and before that New York. So she worked for Martha Stewart and did the food segment of that.
Okay. So did she go through a life change, and that's why you guys moved to Nashville? And then,
yeah, she moved to Nashville Kelly Pickler had a TV show there, Pickler and Ben. And she went there for that. And then that got canceled. And so she became full-time mom. And then she just went back to work when this opportunity showed up. So yeah. She likes it. She said, how can I coach 5 coaches? I'm going crazy. I said, you don't coach 5 coaches. You help 5 coaches coach themselves.
That's right. So she's with you there in Florida too?
So she's in Florida for 3 weeks. Yeah, she's been here a week, and then so we're learning how to fish, how to play golf, how to ride a bike, how to do a lot of things that are really important, and swim. We swim every day at least.
That's good. Now, how many grandkids do you have all together?
I've got two. One is just turned one, and they're up in Oregon. And then this one over here, Juliet, who's, yeah.
So the other one's in Oregon?
Oregon, yeah. My son is a carpenter out there, and his wife is a food tester. So they work by the hour, which I've been trying to teach them is not the best thing to do. Anyway, so I think we're done for today. Thank you for your feedback. I think I appreciate that in terms of the scheduler. I'll think about that.
Hello, Juliet.
Hi, that's Mr. Rosamund.
Are you keeping your grandpa out of trouble today?
She's been working. She's been going to school all day, so she's probably ready to go swimming or have some fun, right?
I'm done with school, and I'm going to go to Mimi's neighbors and drop off something.
Oh, you're going with Mimi? You can drop off some things in the golf cart.
Well, that sounds like fun.
You're walking. Okay. Yeah. Now, we went and hit some balls in the got the golf course and went in the golf cart and looked for, we only found one alligator, right?
Yes, but a billion birds.
A billion birds.
A billion
of them.
There's a lot.
We have a beautiful eagle family out there, and we have got just about an alligator on every hole.
Oh, wow. So,
but you got to go about noontime to see them because they go and hunt.
They go fishing
at 5 o'clock. Mouth. Right. Yeah. And they're all gone. They're all off the sides of them.
And we only saw half of it with its eyes up, but not its whole head.
Right. We just saw half of them. So this is why we work. You know, this is why we do what we do.
Gotcha.
All right. Preston, good to talk to you. I'll talk to you next week.
Juliet, nice to meet you. Have a wonderful day. Have fun with Grandpa. What do you call Grandpa?
Bobo. B-O-B-O.
Okay. All right. See you later. Have a good week.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
There you are. Without your teeth.
Now my teeth are even.